Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got a lot to talk about this weekend, and you can participate. You can call us at 888-302-3684. That's our number for questions. And we'll be taking questions in just a few moments. We've got lots to talk about this hour and next. Depending where you are, you get the full 2 hours of the program, or perhaps you just get a sampling. If you just get 1 hour of the program, well, you can listen to podcasts. Go to drhoffman.com, or you can listen live. Our show is aired noon to 2 p.m. each weekend, and you can participate by calling 888-302-3684. Intelligent Medicine is about the best of high-tech medicine and the best of natural therapies. Put those together for you each weekend. And this week at drhoffman.com, my blog was on saving the VA. There is a crisis of confidence in the VA hospitals. And I took a little bit of a different tack because a lot of people took the tack that the failure of the VA hospitals is a reflection on the Obama administration and its inefficiency, and a lot of political back and forth on that subject. Other people are saying, look, it's a big unwieldy bureaucracy. It's defied many administrations in the past. They haven't gotten it straight, so blame does not lie solely with the current administration. I really didn't touch that debate in this blog. What I focused on, I actually have personal experience working at the VA hospital. That's where I trained. Many of the top doctors in the United States go through training at VA hospitals. VA hospitals are excellent places to train. And where I trained was at the New York VA hospital. And I got to say that there was kind of a dichotomy because the place clearly was rife with inefficiency. Lots of the vets had a lot of trouble getting the care they needed. There were tremendous wait lists and delays in terms of getting care. Often patients would be admitted for something simple, like in those days you got a barium enema instead of a colonoscopy. Colonoscopies were just coming into vogue. And you would wait in the hospital. They would meet you to the hospital, and you'd sit around, you know, playing ping pong or sitting in the TV room drinking soda and eating snacks while waiting for your procedure. And I would talk to some of these guys, and I'd say, when's your procedure? They'd say, oh, well, sometime next week. I was like, why are you in the hospital? Well, you know, that's what they wanted us to do. They wanted us to come in, and this is the this is the way they do business at the VA hospital. Well, you know, maybe some of these inefficiencies have been addressed, and maybe not. And certainly there's some scandalous things happening when it comes to hyped up numbers and productivity figures that guarantee bonuses and promotions for bureaucrats who run the system to the disadvantage of the poor vets who are having to wait too long for care, some of them even dying because they weren't seen soon enough. But what I'm talking about in this blog is how we can really change the whole setup at the VA hospital. You see, fundamentally, the quandary is that the VA hospital reflects what's happening with our medical system at large, which is that we have too much of a reliance on high-tech and pharmacological or drug fixes for problems that are really deep-seated, chronic, and rooted in lifestyle. Many of the vets, you know, being a soldier often creates problems for people when they adjust to civilian life, whether it's actual post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, we didn't throw that term around so much in the old days. The old term was shell shock. And, of course, people are shattered by the experience of war, but also shattered by sometimes the isolating experience of being a soldier overseas or a sailor out of the mainstream of culture. And it's hard for them to adjust to civilian life. And there's depression and there's suicide. And now we have the additional burden of war injuries. Young men and sometimes women coming back with TBI, traumatic brain injury. There's a tremendous amount of suicide among our returning vets, and lots of depression and substance abuse, alcoholism, and drug dependency. And sometimes the VA system makes it worse because people come in and they say, well, I've got this pain or that pain or the other pain. They tank them up on pain-relieving meds, and that's a downhill path for many returning vets into depression and immobility. And so what they really need to do at the VA is they need to turn around the whole paradigm. I say in this blog, with the VA in crisis and with the advantage that central planning affords, because this is a federal system, what better place to initiate a bold new experiment by introducing medical alternatives? And you may be surprised that they actually are moving in that direction. In January 2011, Dr. Tracy Gaudet left Duke Integrative Medicine. You know, there's an integrative medicine program at Duke University, and that's one of the major medical centers in America. She left Duke to join the Veterans Health Administration in Washington, D.C., where she is the first director of, get this, the Office of Patient-Centered Care and Cultural Transformation. They actually foresaw this a few years ago, that they don't just need to make the place more efficient. They need to change its entire culture. And according to the press release when she was hired, Dr. Gaudet is internationally known as an expert in transforming healthcare from a traditional disease-based model to a new model of care for the 21st century based on patient-centered healthcare. What a great concept. Let's use this crisis to turn things around at the VA. And I cite several examples in my blog. You can check it out at drhoffman.com. You get more details on it. But the VA actually puts out something called an integrative medicine resource guide for veteran service members and their families. And in that resource guide, they actually provide an introduction to guided imagery, meditation, stress management, relaxation therapy, yoga, various movement practices, Tai Chi, Qigong. All these could be of enormous benefit to returning vets. And they're being employed on a very small scale at the VA hospital. But this needs to be expanded and extended. And hopefully this is the direction that they'll take. And then this can become a model for what can we do for all the other Americans who are uninsured. And maybe, just maybe, when we reform our healthcare system, we won't just double down on the bureaucratic problems that beset it in the past. We'll change its whole character. We'll change the culture of our healthcare system. Let's just take a couple of problems. One problem that we see among returning vets, traumatic brain injury, TBI. Now, there's a guy who I interviewed a few months ago, Michael Lewis, MD, who has something called the Brain Health Education and Research Institute. The guy is a former military physician. He trained at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center, and he served over 31 years in the Army. But he left the Army when he found it difficult to implement a program for traumatic brain injury, which was based largely on use of omega-3 fatty acids. And in just a moment, when we return, I'll share with you some of the details of that protocol, because it's not just important for vets returning with the aftermath of IED explosions, severe TBI, traumatic brain injury, but it's important for the millions, millions, literally, of athletes and youngsters and ordinary folks who suffer from concussions. You know, even Hillary Clinton suffered a concussion recently. And this is not just something that's confined to professional and amateur athletes and kids who play soccer. It also happens among many ordinary adults. So I'm going to share with you a protocol using omega-3 fatty acids that has been demonstrated to be very effective for expediting the healing of head injuries and more on the subject of what we can do for our returning vets. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
At Nordic Naturals, we pioneer new ways to help people get premium omega-3 nutrition while maintaining the highest standards of safety, quality, and sustainability. Nordic Naturals sources its fish from some of the cleanest waters on Earth and selects only flourishing species that are naturally low in toxins and high in omega-3s. During production, every batch of fish oil used in our products is third-party tested to ensure that they meet international omega-3 industry standards for purity, using methods established by the World Health Organization. At Nordic Naturals, what's essential to us is simple. It's what's essential to you. Like us on Facebook and share your What's Essential story, or simply visit NordicNaturals.com for free samples. Nordic Naturals is available at finer health stores nationwide. Nordic Naturals, committed to delivering the world's safest, most effective omega oils.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm host Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and in just a moment, we're going to talk about some of the things that we could do, practical things that we could do to help our vets at the VA hospital via alternative methods, not high-tech medical surgical stuff, but some of the natural approaches that could be incorporated to great advantage at our VA hospitals. But before we do that, let's talk to Larry, who's calling us from Lebanon, New Hampshire. 888-302-3684 is our number for calls. Hi, Larry.
Hi, doctor. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Doctor, I'm calling on, I'm age 73. And
yes,
for a number of years, I was on bioidentical 5% testosterone until they made it illegal and you have to go through a prescription source now. Now that I'm on...
Wait a minute, you were able to just get this like over the counter?
Over the internet.
Over the internet. That's interesting.
Until about 5 or 6 years ago when the laws were changed.
Well, I have to say, I'm against the suppression of natural therapies, but I think that's probably a good idea because you could go very seriously wrong by applying testosterone cream to your body, from a purchase on the internet. I mean, who knows who could be doing this? Somebody who is like a child could be doing this, like maybe an 11-year-old who wants to make the football team, alternatively, a man who hasn't been checked for prostate cancer. That could be a problem, that could even increase the risk of breast cancer in a woman if it's improperly used.
Right. Well, this is in the past. In the last few years, I've gone to a couple of different doctors, and they're providing me with a bioidentical testosterone replacement, but they'll only provide it for what is the average age level of a 73-year-old man, and I'm still losing muscle mass. I get fatigued daily, libido is down.
Let me get this. You're applying a cream to your skin?
Right, transdermal.
Transdermal. Okay, because for a listening audience, testosterone can be given.
They write a prescription to a compound pharmacy.
Okay, so what's the dosage you're receiving?
Well, they say it's 3%.
3%? Okay, so 3 milligrams. So how much do you apply?
I apply it once a day.
How much physically do you apply? What the dosage.
5 ml or something like that. It's in a
5 mls of 3%. Okay.
Right.
So that's not very much testosterone, actually.
Males
are 3%. All right, so for our listening audience, testosterone can be given in several different ways. One, you can take it as an injection or shot, usually in the butt. And that isn't, to me, not the best way to do it because it sends your testosterone up. You get a shot every week and a half or every 2 weeks. It goes up, it peaks, and then it drops so that you're getting not regular levels of testosterone. Plus, it has a greater tendency to increase your risk of blood clots and has a greater tendency to increase your risk of thickening of the blood, like a hyperconcentration of the blood. So I'm not a big fan of that. It's synthetic, and that's another problem, not bioidentical. So the topical creams are good. Sometimes prescription creams are, they can be okay, but I prefer the compounded variety. Yeah, I don't know why these doctors are so reluctant to optimize you into the range of normal for a healthy, say, 35-year-old. What are your testosterone levels that they're saying are okay? Do you know what they are?
I don't have them with me right at the moment, but they're slightly above what is average for a man of 73. That's what they
So that's not great. That's
they're testing with blood tests. Free testosterone.
Right, which is the correct way to do it. You actually don't want to just look at the testosterone. You want to look at the free and available testosterone. So they're doing it correctly. I'm not sure what's going on there. One of two things. Either you're not getting enough testosterone because your doctors are using a criterion that is not aggressive enough. In other words, they're saying, well, you know, you're fine for a 73-year-old, but yeah, no, you want to go back a couple of decades. You would like to be, you know, say, the average for a 40 or 35-year-old, and that's fine. That's permissible. That's something that I do with my men here in New York. As long as we monitor your PSA, get your prostate checked, you're going to be fine. The other possibility is that it's not just about testosterone. You know, testosterone is not the only factor that causes older men to feel tired and debilitated. There may be other things involved. There may be some malabsorption. There may be a deficiency of a critical nutrient. There may be problems with other hormones like DHEA. DHEA is worth investigating because if you have a good testosterone but low DHEA, you're not going to feel as good. It's not going to be as anabolic. So there may be several factors involved, and you may require a more extensive workup to find out, you know, what's the thing that's causing you to develop what you call, what we generally call sarcopenia, which is a wasting that occurs as you age. I'm not sure precisely what's going on in your case, Larry. All right.
Is there anybody you can recommend? Do I have to go to the doctor?
I mean, I don't know anybody up there, you know, but it sounds self-serving, but, you know, see me. You know, maybe I could give you a second opinion. People come from all over the country to see me. All right, so let's take a look at this protocol for traumatic brain injury. Traumatic brain injury, big problem in returning vets because of IED injuries, but also in a lot of people. It's estimated that there are 3 million people who suffer from serious head injuries, concussions and the like. They're athletes who, you know, that their job is to bang their heads together. Baseball players, football players, certainly hockey players. And you don't actually have to bang your head. You can get a TBI or you can get a concussion from just an acceleration-deceleration situation. A lot of people in traffic accidents get this. So how do you begin the program? Well, go to brainhealtheducation.org to find the protocol. In week one, you take 3 grams of EPA DHA 3 times a day. That's a high dose for 7 days. And then week two, 3 grams of EPA DHA 2 times a day for 7 days. And you continue with a maintenance dose to maintain optimal brain health. You need to take approximately 3 grams of EPA DHA every day, not just one pill, but probably anywhere from, you know, 6, 9, 12 pills a day to get the optimal effect if you've suffered from a concussion or TBI. So check out brainhealtheducation.org. This is a protocol that should definitely be implemented at the VA immediately. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
This traffic report from the bloodstream brought to you by Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Well, that inbound blood flow is really slowing down now due to plaque from cholesterol, but help's on the way from Kyolic. More than 750 peer-reviewed research studies indicate that Kyolic not only keeps circulation moving smoothly, it also helps improve a number of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is made from 100% organically grown garlic, is completely odorless, and won't upset your stomach. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Look for Kyolic at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Help keep your system stay humming along with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract today.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. If you care to call us, 888-302-3684. But we got lots to talk about. And, in my newsletter this week and on my website, drhoffman.com, we talk about the VA health crisis. And it is a scandal that veterans are not getting the care they deserve. But the whole VA is screwed up because the orientation is towards high-tech interventions, very much a mirror of our current health care system. And this current crisis gives us an opportunity to change the entire orientation of the VA, change its culture, so to speak, and integrate natural and innovative therapies to help our vets. And this might ultimately result in better results, better patient satisfaction, and lower costs, major cost saving, and less need for the kind of medical intervention that vets aren't able to access because, well, if you got a chronic medical problem, you just keep bouncing off your doctor and it gets worse and worse and he keeps prescribing or she keeps prescribing medications. There's an enormous utilization of medical resources that's involved. So let's talk about another problem. We just talked about traumatic brain injury. Another big problem encountered by returning vets is depression, severe, unrelenting depression, and, in fact, suicide. And studies have been done on the effects of omega-3 fatty acids, a simple intervention, just like in traumatic brain injury. Post-traumatic stress disorder, and I'm not trying to be simplistic here. You know, you got PTSD, you've seen some horrible stuff happen, and you're suffering from major anxiety and depression and alienation. Just taking a few fish oil capsules isn't going to fix that, but it can ameliorate that. Studies have shown that this really can work. Throw in some mindfulness meditation, yoga, tai chi. Some of these things could be huge in ameliorating PTSD, which is a major toll on our veterans' healthcare system. All right, here's another one. Hearing damage. Hearing damage is a huge problem in the military because of, you know, not just combat, you know, guns firing, but just the loud aircraft noises, the loud mechanical noises that lots of military folks are exposed to. And so we're spending a lot of money treating the aftermath of these problems, not preventing the problem. Yeah, you can prevent the problem to some extent with proper ear protective gear, but they're actually ear protective nutrients. And there's several studies that have been done on this, and even in the military, and yet they're not utilizing the strategy enough. And I share with you in the article some of the major plausible players in hearing protection. Again, they include omega-3 fatty acids, but also magnesium, N-acetylcysteine, which is a potent antioxidant, alpha-lipoic acid, resveratrol, ginkgo biloba, high-dose vitamin E and other antioxidants, selenium, for example, and coenzyme Q10. And I just pulled a couple of studies on this. One looks at the hearing protective benefits of resveratrol in conjunction with other antioxidants. Resveratrol is a potent antioxidant, and it may protect the nerves of the inner ear. Certainly, some studies suggested helps to slow or prevent Alzheimer's. In our next hour, we're going to talk about a new study looking at resveratrol in prevention of diabetes and even treatment of type 2 diabetes. Let's look at magnesium. Magnesium supplementation has been studied in relationship to sensory neural hearing damage. This study that I'm looking at says studies completed with animal models suggest that magnesium supplementation can reduce the amount of hearing damage associated with noise exposure. Rats given a magnesium-infused diet experience less hearing loss when exposed to impulse noise, and they also have seen the same types of results in human subjects. And it appears that magnesium is involved in the regulation of cell membrane permeability. Within the inner ear, it alters the permeability of the sensory hair cell membranes. So the deficiency results in an imbalance of intracellular calcium and sodium. and there's a decrease in potassium. And this diminishes the electrical impulses that are necessary for hearing. And so magnesium deficiency may contribute to hearing loss, and supplemental magnesium may help to protect the ear from damage. There's also some good studies on alpha-lipoic acid, this one entitled The Effect of Alpha-Lipoic Acid on Temporary Threshold Shift in Humans. Threshold shift means that you lose your hearing threshold lowers, or actually raises, so it takes more sound for you to appreciate a hearing, verbal hearing or sound appreciation. And they looked at human volunteers, 30 young subjects. They were given ALA, 600 milligrams of ALA. One dose didn't work, but 10 days of consumption of 600 milligrams of ALA was associated with significant protection of the hearing threshold. And therefore, they encourage further research on that subject. So clearly, you know, we need to expand research at the VA, and we need to apply some of these methods because the system is broke. We can throw a lot of money at it. We can, you know, put bureaucrats, we can fire bureaucrats or put bureaucrats in jail for corruption. But in order to truly fix the VA medical system, we need to change the culture. And hopefully we can do this for our overall healthcare system before it too founders. The VA system, in my opinion, just a microcosm of what's happening to our overall healthcare system. We're headed for some real rough patches if we don't change our approach. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684, and we'll have more stuff to share with you in just a moment on Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We got a caller, and her name is Maria. She's from Connecticut. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I have a question about strontium.
Yeah.
Which I have been taking for almost 10 years.
10 years? You were like a strontium pioneer because that was when it was just being popularized.
I know. I've been listening to your program for more than 20. But I was always afraid to call because of my accent. But since I called the other day, now I'm more daring and calling again.
Yep.
The results I had from my bone density this week,
right. right.
compared to 2 years ago.
Yeah.
First, I have to ask you something.
Sure.
The L1, L4, L2, L4, and L1, these are all in the spine, right?
Right. That's the, these are, that stands for lumbar. So L1, it's lumbar spinal bone. Well, they're usually dash. There's L1, L2.
L1-L4, L2-L4,
right.
and L1 bone.
Right.
No. So those are all in the spine, right?
Right.
Those got worse from 2 years ago, from osteopenia to osteoporotic.
They got worse?
They got worse from two years ago.
I'm surprised.
I'm surprised, too.
Yeah, but by the way, just give me the bottom line, though. Do they say you have osteoporosis now altogether in your spine and in your hip, or do you not have osteoporosis?
That's the thing. The other two, the femoral bone.
Right. That's the hip.
That's the hip and the femoral neck bone,
yeah.
which I have been having many problems in my hip. Sometimes it's so bad I almost think I need hip replacement.
Two different things. You can have good, strong bone, and you can still have a lot of pain because that's arthritis. So the strength of the bone doesn't necessarily correlate with the degree of pain or discomfort or even a need for a hip replacement. And same thing with back. You know, you may have painless osteoporosis, doesn't hurt at all, but you have osteoporosis, or you may have very painful osteoporosis if the spinal column collapses. Alternatively, you could have very good bone density, you could be in serious pain. So there's actually a disconnect between the pain and the strength of your bone. Well, this is more about your risk for fracture.
And
so go ahead.
Better. They got from osteopenic and osteoporotic to normal, those
Great.
Two.
Okay, so your hip got better, but your spine got worse. Is that what
exactly.
you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. How much strontium do you take?
I've been taking 680.
Right, which is the correct dose of...
Should I continue? Should I stop? Should I take half?
Well, listen, you know, I got to say, the answer is I can't give you an answer because you're an example of... a problem patient. And I guess these days I'm mostly seeing problem patients as people who listen to me and follow the things that we suggest on this program. They're generally able to stay out of doctor's offices. I often see people where, I'm taking strontium, but paradoxically I'm losing bone. So what's the problem? And usually what I discover is that there's something else that's the cause of the problem. You know, strontium is really helpful for building bone, but it's not 100% panacea. And generally I suggest that people take strontium for maybe 2, 4, 6, up to 8 years. But generally after a period of time, you get diminishing returns. You may no longer respond to strontium. We actually don't know, since strontium has only been around for a relatively short time, we don't know what happens to people when they take strontium for 15 or 20 years. Is it counterproductive? Does it stop working? We're not even quite sure because it was introduced. You know, you were actually a strontium pioneer. You started using it 10 years ago.
Yeah,
most
right.
people who are on strontium, they've used it for like 3, 4 years. Most of my patients are on it for 4 up to 6 years, and then we see great improvement in their bone, and then they can go off that.
Uh-huh.
So, it's helped your hips, and that's important because a hip fracture is horrible. I don't know what's going on in your spine. You may have other issues. We need to test your vitamin D. We need to check other nutrients. We need to see if there's any kind of inflammatory process. Obviously, there is because you're in pain. We need to find out if you're actually absorbing some of the other critical nutrients. Some patients, for example, have celiac disease, and that's why they have, or they have gluten intolerance. That's why they're not properly absorbing their nutrients. So it's a little complicated. You know, again, it may sound self-serving, but for a situation like this, come see a nutritionally oriented physician to do an analysis, find out what's going on. Why is it that you're losing bone? There's so many reasons. It could be a medication you're taking. It could be any number of things. And, you know, that's, I think, as much as I can tell you in the space of one phone call. Thank you very much for calling, Maria. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and when we return, we're going to talk about how moderate physical activity can reduce mobility problems in our older adults. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. All right, it seems pretty obvious. I guess you could call this the duh story of the week. Moderate intensity physical activity reduces mobility problems for older adults. Okay, it stands to reason if you keep moving, if you exercise, you're less likely to become immobile. And that was a big deal. It was a big press release by Journal of the American Medical Association. The study was released this week, and they actually did the experiment. They took individuals aged 70 to 89, and they then gave them either an exercise program or they gave them, some general health lectures, but without a structured exercise program. And what they found was that major disability was experienced far less in the physical activity group versus the group that just got the placebo, which was, sit down, take in a lecture. And that makes sense. That makes sense. But what about exercise at the high end? There's actually been some doubts cast on the efficacy of exercise at the very high end, because some studies suggest that if you're do ultra marathons, and if you're, run marathons in your 60s and 70s, that you can actually run into trouble. You can get a heart attack. You can cause your heart to be enlarged. You can develop cardiac arrhythmias. So some new studies looked at cyclists, long-distance cyclists, high-end cyclists, 834 cyclists who rode the Tour de France from the 30s to the 60s. They found that they lived on average 8 years longer than the general populace. That's good news for me because I like long-distance cycling. I'm no Tour de France rider, but I like to put in my 30 miles. Another study looked at 786 French competitors in the Tour from 1947 to 2012. They lived on average 6 years longer. Danish researchers, they looked at individuals who cycled every day in Copenhagen. There's a lot of bicycling, urban bicycling. And they found that those who did intense cycling, enough to be out of breath, lived longer than those who simply tooted around along at a pace where they could have a conversation. So clearly, higher end exercise, it's good. Look, it's never too late to undertake an exercise program. Folks in the first study that I cited, the study of the elderly, they were sedentary at the time the study began. And a short program of moderate exercise reduce their risk of immobility, that's what we're all trying to avoid. And if you're a more high-end exerciser, you can take some encouragement from these studies that suggest that high-level exercise can definitely increase your lifespan. All right, thanks for joining us for this hour. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and more of Intelligent Medicine coming up. Our number, 888-302-3684. Call us in the next hour. We'll be happy to hear from you.